listening to the Youth Creek Podcast on KHC Network. Find us on Facebook at WUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at WUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHC Network. And now for the podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Youth Critic Reacts. I am your host, Kale Smith, and today we are going to be talking about Call Me By Your Name and Molly's Game. Starting with Call Me By Your Name, Call Me By Your Name is a movie about a boy named Elio, and every summer, Elio and his family invite a graduate student to come visit with them on their Italian resort or vacation, and during this time, the graduation student, Oliver, starts a friendship with Elio that becomes a bromance that then formulates into a romance, into a physical relationship, physical and intimate relationship, I mean. And then the affair ends. Spoilers. Let's listen to a soundbite.
So what do you do around here?
Read books, transcribe music, swim at the river, go out at night.
Sounds fun. All right, later.
Sicuramente è meglio di quello dell'anno scorso.
Just watch. This is how we'll say goodbye to us when the time comes. Later.
Meanwhile, we'll have to put up with him for 6 long weeks.
Alright, Call Me By Your Name is one of the most beautiful films of this year. It's, you know, this not only this great, you know, romance film about two men in Northern Italy finding their soulmate, finding a connection and a relationship between each other over a period of 6 weeks. It's really about appreciating love. It's about appreciating it and seizing it and, you know, trying to conquer our fears of desire. And that's really what the movie is ultimately about. It's about conquering that fear of desire and going after it and having a realistic relationship. This movie does. And of course, the tragedy is time. Time is so limited and short for both Elio and Oliver. And not only is it short, but unfortunately, this could be the last time they ever see each other. So, in a sense, it is a true tragic romance in that once Elio and Oliver finally confront their fears and desires, it's literally like 2 weeks before he has to go back to New York or something and go back to his graduate studies. And that's really the ultimate reason why this movie works so much more than multiple other romances this year, is that there are stakes, and at the end of it, it's just going to be the end of an affair. It doesn't end with Elio and Oliver just embracing each other at the end, and they live happily ever after. There's a tragedy. You know, their affair is short and sweet, and it affects Elio as a young, impressionable teenager. And that's really the heart of Call Me By Your Name is, you know, the fantasy element that's hit, that ends with a 1-2 punch of realism. And I think that's really why I think the movie has gravitated so much towards people, is that you feel for this relationship and you want it to work no matter what happens, no matter if it ends in this, you know, elaborate Nicholas Sparks way, you want it to work. But in the end, you feel for Elio as he's sitting in winter alone.
L-
Luca and director Luca Guadagnino, along with his DP and DP, delivers a lush look that complements the affair as it's going on, because the affair is blossoming, and along with the scenery and the cinematography of it, and then really until its end, it becomes even, the lighting is more decreasing. It's a great way to symbolize the progression of the story and the progression of the relationship. The other thing I want to mention before we move on is the sensuality of it. Now, I think it was back in Venice, correct? I could be wrong, but back in Venice, there was this controversy that the movie shied away from the sexuality scenes of between Elio and Oliver. And while, yes, the movie does do that, and not only does it do that, it does contain more shots of Elio having, straight sex with another woman, with a woman he's intimately with. It still has, it's, the movie ultimately isn't about, in my opinion, about this, you know, this, the sexual intimacy of the film. It's more about the relationship and more about how they grow as a couple. And that's really what I think is the best defense for it. I know it's not that great, but ultimately the movie does examine a gay relationship in a way that not many movies do. Not many big, and I know this is not a big movie, but not many movies try to do. So in a way, I appreciate, you know, it trying to do other things and exploring more of that and trying not to become, you know, pornographic. Not in the way that, you know, I think movies like Blue, The Warmest Color kind of got when it, in its initial release or kind of in its outcoming. So in that sense, I really love Call Me By Your Name. It is one of the strongest movies. It's probably the best romance movie I've seen this year, and I do highly recommend it. Right now in Georgia, it's only in Atlanta, at the Phipps Plaza, the Levant Sandy Springs, and the Midtown Art Cinema. So I encourage everyone to go check it out. It'll expand in a couple more theaters in a couple weeks, but please check it out. It's a must-see film. It deserves all the recognition and praise it's currently getting. Now let's look at Molly's Game.
I'm Molly Bloom. Do you know about me? This is a true story.
You ran games in LA for roughly 8 years?
Yeah.
And then you ran games in New York for roughly 2.
I haven't run a game in over 2 years, not to spoil the ending. But that's when the government raided my game and took all of my money, assuming all of it was made illegally, which it wasn't. In this room, you couldn't buy your win.
I'm all in.
You couldn't buy me, and you couldn't buy a seat at the table.
Movie stars, athletes, billionaires, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
You're not taking a percentage of the pot?
No.
Keep it that way, because you don't want to break the law when you're breaking the law.
Am I breaking the law?
Not really.
We're able to find out for sure, aren't we? Laws are written down.
Yeah, I mean it. So Molly's Game is about Molly, the real-life story of Molly Bloom, a person who was a former Olympic skier who went from Olympic skiing to running. All right, Molly's Game is the true story of Molly Bloom, a young Olympic-class skier who ran the world's most exclusive high-stakes poker game for a decade before being arrested in the middle of the night by FBI agents. And this is a story of how she became an FBI target. Director Aaron Sorkin here does, I think, the best he can as a director. He is obviously known as being the screenwriter for movies that have mile a minute you know, dialogue a lot in movies and TV shows, like A Few Good Men, The American President, The West Wing, The Social Network, Moneyball, Charlie Wilson's War, Steve Jobs. I mean, just the list goes on and on and on. And all of his movies have the signature auteuric screenwriting style, and of, you know, just a mile a minute, just lots of heavy monologues, heavy dialogue, lots of insanely, impossibly smart characters that can drive people, even audiences, insane. And so, for the warning, if you're not an Aaron Sorkin fan, you are not going to like his directorial debut, because there's monologues every 10 minutes and characters who know things that no human, even an autistic person, would never know half of the stuff that people are saying. Wouldn't be able to keep in mind all that information that every character holds. It's insanity. And while that can deter people, I think it's just a brilliant way to get across a lot of information. And the issue is that information doesn't really stick with you in this movie. You can keep up with what's going on in the plot, because, you know, obviously there's character stakes, there's things that are interesting and going on. The thing, though, about this movie is that the directing is sort of just typical directing, and, you know, and really Aaron Sorkin's movies are at their best when they can, when they have skilled directors working behind them, and actors that are just on top of their game. And while I think Jessica Chastain and Idris Elba are on top of their game here in this movie, I think that Aaron Sorkin doesn't hit it out of the park with his directorial debut as, like, for, say, Jordan Peele for Get Out. I think he did, because there are occasionally moments in the movie where he, you know, uses directing to, you know, emphasize a moment, or occasionally, but really it's all, you know, the savior of this movie is his screenplay and the acting and the editing. Everything else is kind of, you know, kind of just not flat, but just mediocre. Something that you would normally expect for a first timer. So while I don't hate Molly's Game, because the acting is still superb, the monologues are impressive, and even more impressive when they're spoken by great actors who are just working their ass off to make, you know, to make it through those monologues within one take. It's impressive from an acting standpoint, and impressive from a writing standpoint, because the movie is vaguely interesting. I just think Aaron Sorkin needs to keep working on his directing style, in order to make it just as interesting as, you know, some of his colleagues like David Fincher and Rob Reiner and Bennett Miller. So with that, I give a mild recommendation to Molly's Game. I think it's an impressive feat, and again, a great script by Aaron Sorkin. I like his work a lot, but if you're not a fan of Aaron Sorkin's movies, this is, you know, stay away. You're not going to like this one. Anyway, with that said, that is it for the Youth Critic Reacts. As far as the Youth Critic podcast itself, we will come back next week with Christmas releases. We're going to come back with some retrospectives. I have some retrospectives planning that are Oscar-related coming up in late January, early February. And so keep an eye out for that. And my Best of 2017 podcast will come out around, will probably be out by mid-January, because I'm zooming through the movies that came out at Christmas and are coming out in January. I'm waiting on those. I'm waiting for the Post and Phantom Thread to come out here in Georgia. So while I wait for those, so far I'm just look at Letterboxd for now. Anyway, thanks everyone. We'll be back with you next week for more Youth Critic related stuff.